All right, top of the hour means your next chance to win $1,000 here. It's the 560 WQAM Slam Dunk Contest. Your chance to take home $1,000. Text the word MILK to 72881 and you're registered. M-I-L-K. What do you got?
You got a little milkman in you.
I like to milk it out a little bit.
We got a few milkmen here at the station.
I am the milkman. M-I-L-K to 72881. Text it right now. Now, if you don't win this time, your next chance at the top of the next hour. This is a national contest. Message and data rates may apply. Don't text and drive. Milk. Text it to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000 in the WQAM Slam Dunk Contest.
All right, so news from yesterday. Julius Thomas finally released, no surprise, and a big opportunity for the Dolphins today. I don't know if it gets done or not, but if you're wondering about what the Dolphins are doing, this is one player. I think a lot of people thought, just because of the connection that the offensive coordinator and head coach had to the Bears, the Bears released a Pro Bowl guard, Josh Sitton, and he's visiting the Miami Dolphins today.
I hope he's sitting in Davie right now.
I hope he's sitting, yeah. You can have a lot of fun with Sitton.
Of course.
I hope he's going to be sitting down here for like a 2 or 3 year contract.
That's totally the jersey I would buy, by the way, because Sitton would be perfect for me.
So we'll find out how they end up playing. He's been a right guard with Chicago, I believe, and then they're talking about him maybe being a left guard, but I'm sure – if he came down, I really like it here, but I got to tell you. Now, I don't think he's like this because I hear he's a great team guy. But, like, if he says, hey, I'm really good at right guard, I'm okay at left guard, I really don't like – I like playing on the right side.
Good, you're the starting right guard.
And you're the right guard, we'll work around it.
All right, I'll answer for you.
I got you. We'll work around that.
Josh, you don't have to finish that sentence. You feel better and more comfortable on the right, and you want to sign here? Guess what?
Yeah.
You're a starting right guard right now. Right this second.
By the way, the Dolphins restructured contracts, which, by the way, without getting technical on this, anytime they restructure these contracts with the guys that have the most money, in this case, Rashad Jones and Ryan Tannehill, yep. it's a great win for those guys because they get a nice big fat check probably today or yesterday.
Yeah. Probably yesterday.
They get a seven-figure check.
Hey, check your direct deposit, Ryan, because we're just going to make your base salary this year, I don't know, $800,000, and we're going to give you $14 million today. Check that. Check your account today.
And
make sure that went through.
But here's the good news with it, and I want people to understand it because I hate getting into the cap. I do because I don't understand all of it. But you can manipulate the cap to free up money like the Dolphins did to keep getting pieces that they need.
Of course, but you got to manipulate, you got to have an owner that's okay dishing out a bunch of cash right now. And luckily, whether you Dolphin fans want to believe it or not, we have a really good owner down here that says, this will help right now, cut the check and cut the check. Because Rashad and Ryan yesterday or today, like you said, got paid.
Yeah.
A ton of money.
I don't know if that has to go through, but you're right. Maybe it does. Maybe at the top there, I think
they got to cut a big check.
Tannenbaum for Tannehill has to. I think he can make that call, but I don't know. We got an owner. I think he likes to be in on things a little bit, but
how do we win? What do we have to do? We got to pay these guys right now. I'll cut the check. Let's just get some more
care.
Players.
Like the owner again, and I got into a big old debate yesterday with a guy about this owner. Look, man, we can blame different things, and I don't want to win six games. It sucks. But, like, the owner, okay, it remains to be seen if we got the front office figured out, starting with VP of football operations.
Correct.
That's fair.
Yes.
Because he's running, at the end of the day.
Everything goes through him.
He's got to sign off. Now, we can talk about there's three guys, and they work together, but at the end, VP of football operations is the biggest title you can have.
Yes. Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. And listen, Mike's got – he's got direct shot through one guy to owner.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, without getting in who the other guy is and getting into Matt and his title with the sports company. So, yeah. So we got to see. And I agree there. I know a lot of people are down on Tannenbaum right now. I understand that. But I'll tell you what, these moves, they said this is what it is. I know it's big talking to Adam with the draft. We got to hit on these drafts, and we got to get these guys productive and playing. But I'll tell you what, you get a couple pieces, and somehow, and I don't know if it's going to happen, but if Josh Sitton comes down here,
he'll be sitting pretty.
I feel a lot better about our offensive line on opening day than I did last year.
Yeah,
now,
of course.
Now we still got to have playmakers, and we got to have guys, and we got to get the offense going. We got to play clean football and all those things. But so we'll see what happens. But that's good stuff. Also, it looks like they're going to bring back William Hayes, who – I think William Hayes is.
I like that move.
Everybody likes William.
Yeah.
For the amount of snaps William Hayes plays, that dude, now, he got injured at the end of the year and he didn't finish. But that guy's about as good of run defensive end as I've ever seen in a Dolphins uniform. We got a bunch of pass rushers. Some of those guys are sometimes good and sometimes bad at, you know, stopping the run.
But do we have too many at that position now, even with William coming in?
Well,
because we got a lot of guys and only a couple positions to play.
William Hayes is
he can play inside.
You're
going
to have five defense. He can play inside,
but not a lot.
But he's really good on the outside.
Yeah.
Like that guy, he made some plays against Atlanta last year. Like they tried to run outside,
he got him.
Yeah, he's good. Like he is clearly the best guy at that to help you on that other side where the Dolphins sometimes struggled last year.
Of course.
Running the ball outside, couldn't stop it, and lost containment and all that stuff. So anyway, they've got those things going on, still looking for it. I don't know what's going to happen. I know people are talking about this Chad Henne thing coming back. I don't know if Chad wants to come back, first of all.
Would you want to come back here?
After the way it ended, I don't know. Like, I don't know if he's been gone long enough or he's coming back, and everybody knows he's coming back as a backup quarterback. I don't know that. I'm really curious to see what happens with this. I think they still got to draft a guy, personally. And I don't mean a guy in the sixth or seventh round.
No, you got to get a
or
guy.
Or one of their seventh-round picks or what. I don't think
but
they
Joe,
have
But, Joe, how about the nightmare
pick.
Scenario of something happening to Ryan not drafting a quarterback and Chad Henne is your guy? I mean, Matt Moore was one thing, and not that he's much better off, but can you imagine if we go into week 11 – Week 7, week 14, week 2, and Chad Henne is the starter?
Listen.
Oh, my goodness.
Trevor Siemian, backup for the Vikings.
Horrible also.
Tom Savage, backup for the Saints.
Yeah, good point. You're a good point. I retract what I said then.
Not everybody's got Nick Foles as a backup.
No, I know that. We thought we did with Matt Moore, didn't we? Then for a couple of years, we said we had the best backup in the NFL or close to it?
We thought we had a good one, but he got hurt and age time caught up to him. And
very quickly.
He got the crap knocked out of him in the one game.
Oh, my good. And got right pounded, back up.
But that was it. I mean, he finished that game, and that was
curtains for that guy.
Yeah, he was pretty well banged up for – that was it for him. So, anyway, we've got all that stuff going on here. The Dolphins going to continue to make moves. Hey, look, we still got the priority list out there. It hadn't changed. Outside linebacker and tight end.
And if they don't get a tight end, I think you had it. If they don't pull a tight end here, a tight end and one that could play in Adams' offense, I don't want to see what you're going to be like the next day. That Monday after the weekend of drafting.
I just know how much – just – like, I would love to be a tight end in Adam Gase's offense.
Of course.
Like,
a lot of targets.
He's big on finding mismatches that you got to win, and we didn't win. But he sets it up for you, you know, to get isolated one-on-one, flex out in the red zone, gives you a ton of opportunities. I'm just going to say this, and I don't rank him, and I am not going to play Mel Kiper Jr.
Come on, give me some Mel Kiper Jr.
But we need to get one of those top three tight ends, whoever they are, a guy that fits the position. I don't care if he can block or not. I don't care less. Most of them can block. They all block like me now. I just want a guy that's a big, big body. They can get isolated on a safety, or you put a linebacker out there or a dime corner, which means you're a dime corner. You're probably not covering as well as big drop-off from the starters.
Yeah.
I want to get you isolated in that, where if it is a small guy and he's quick, you can use your body on him, or you can just get separation like we watch Gronk. And I know that's a bad example, but guys like that.
That's the build now of the top flight guy. So you want a mismatch for the Dolphins, not for the other team on the Dolphins. That's what you're looking for also.
Well,
because normally it's the other way.
I want the guy like Adam Gase wanted from Denver, not the guy from Jacksonville and the guy we got. I want the guy he had for a couple years in Denver that was a – red zone machine, right?
Yeah.
Getting the ball out there. And so just find that guy. I don't know if it's Penn State. I don't know if it's South Dakota. I don't know if it's some small school, some guy that
Seven.
Are you doing? Are you hitting me with all the good
tight ends?
I will look
through
47
mock drafts right now and tell you if you want one of those top two or three guys, get ready for it with the second round pick for the Miami Dolphins, tight end, and fill in the blank after that. Because if you don't do it there, you're not getting one of your top flight guys.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
Well, anyway, so that's getting caught up. I had this other thing, too, that I talked about earlier. So Baker Mayfield had his workout, which, by the way, the Dolphins weren't at yesterday because this recruiting stuff that's going on and trying to sign some veteran players. They've been with Baker Mayfield a lot already. So he had his pro day at Oklahoma. So this report comes out. Baker Mayfield moves to the top. Tears it up. So, and they had all kinds of shots of him at his workout and stuff. And Baker Mayfield on his pro day threw indoors with nobody covering his receivers that he had in college and no pass rush, running their passing tree and their offense. He better be real impressive.
I agree.
Like, what quarterback that's trying to be an NFL quarterback is not going to be impressive in those circumstances? Indoors, nobody covering your receivers, guys you've been throwing to for 2 years. It's like you and I playing catch.
You're right.
A college receiver throws to those guys every day. Every day until he's about ready to get drafted. So, yeah, I guess Baker would have been impressive going through the route tree yesterday. But they've seen him already.
Of course. Come on,
he's done
the
senior bowl. He's thrown against all the other guys at the combine. I don't know how much. Now, they all showed up and got to see him. I guess they asked him to make a couple NFL throws, like look it off and throw it down the field on a two deep.
There's no rush.
Between the corner and
no
the
one covering the
No,
the
it's just this pro day. I would love to ask, like, what do you get out of a Baker Mayfield pro day unless you want to take him to dinner and get to know him better?
Well, that's why I thought the Dolphins
you're
were
there
doing.
And you bring your security guys, you want to do a little background check on him. And, hey, Baker likes to party a little bit. Let's make sure he ain't partying like Johnny Manziel.
If he's going out to dinner with a team, you think he's ordering booze?
Mm,
is that a red flag?
No,
if you're, you know, I'll have the porterhouse and the baked potato. And
That's funny you said that.
I'm just thinking of, like, what a red flag
could
be.
Can you imagine going, hey, Baker's bonding with Adam Gase, goes, hey, bro. Coach
six
bro.
Shots.
He goes, Coach Bro, you want to, Coach Bro, you want to grab a couple cold ones?
Yeah.
We got a new beer here in Oklahoma,
that's
man.
That's it.
It's a killer, dog.
Let's get this new IPA. Let's get that in here. And two shots of Fireball.
Same stuff I get every night, Jerky.
Guy comes up, oh, Baker, you want your usual?
No, the answer is no.
Okay. That's a red flag?
Yeah.
You know? Hey, like, Tannenbaum's going to have the porterhouse and a baked potato and a Diet Coke.
They go, Chris, you don't say much. That was good, though, right? You want another one?
I can't imagine.
No, you're crazy, man.
What's Baker doing? Is that his third shot of Fireball and a second beer? Wow.
We got to go to a break here. We've got a lot more to get. You ready to check in on the NBA?
Of course. I'm always ready to check in
Let's
on the
NBA. Let's do that. We're going to be going to get a little.
Brian Geltzeiler going to
get a little
next,
NBA information.
Yeah.
We got a lot of stuff. We had a bad loss last night in Sacramento.
Yeah, maybe we should skip the NBA.
By the way, three of the guys out, including one little surprise, didn't play last night, along with Dwayne Wade and Hassan Whiteside. We'll have all that stuff for you. Talk about that coming up next. Right now, got to tell you about your South Florida Chevy dealers. Feeling good, feeling right. Love being part of that Chevy family. It's all right. You betcha, man. When it comes to South Florida Chevy dealers, you looking for that new car, truck, or SUV? We got some smoking hot deals. More importantly, we got some smoking products. That's right. No matter what you're looking for, we got it covered. Let me see. I bet you're looking for a great price with a great look, right? Of course you want to like it. You want everybody to go, man, that's sweet looking. Well, you're going to get that. And then how about safety features, fuel economy, technology? All that stuff's important. Maybe you need more space. Hey, listen, your Chevy family's never looked better than it does right now in 2018. My Tahoe LTZ is getting shined up right now to the Silverado trucks. With the steel bed, the Suburbans for all that extra space for the big family. Want to keep them all safe? Camaro and Corvette as sexy as ever. Cruise. And that Chevy Malibu to the Equinox and Traverse. You got to find out for yourself. You need to take a test drive at one of the 14 dealerships throughout South Florida. I'll make you one promise. You will fall in love at your South Florida Chevy dealers.
They double team Fox immediately. Get across McDonough. A long three. Got it from downtown. Up by four with 1:03 left to go. Big shot by Bogdanović. And they lead by a 119-115 count. What a terrible loss for your Miami Heat. And believe it or not, Sacramento takes the season series. Wow. The Sacramento Kings, who average 99 points a game, drop 123 on your Miami Heat tonight. The final score in overtime, Sacramento 123, Miami 119.
Really coming with a great defensive effort for 48 minutes. You know, at the end of the game, who cares? You have a four-point lead. You just have to trust your defense, get two stops, and seal the game. And we weren't able to do it. They scored both times, and that was that.
I think Mike Inglis said it best. Bad loss for the Miami Heat last night versus Sacramento. To talk a little bit more about that and the rest of the NBA, Brian Geltzeiler going to join us, founder of HoopsCritic.com. You can hear him on SiriusXM NBA Radio. Also see him on NBA TV. Brian, good morning. Bad loss by the Miami Heat last night.
Yeah, ugly one. At least keep one thing in mind. The Heat haven't won on the road in like 6 weeks.
January 29th, I think, was the last win outside of Florida.
It's
crazy.
Yep, and I got to tell you something. You know what the Heat should be very grateful for right now?
Detroit's bad.
Detroit Pistons. Because if the Pistons didn't stink and weren't 7 games below 500, we'd be talking about Miami fumbling away a playoff spot right now.
Yeah.
It's gone bad, guys. It really has. And, yeah, listen, I get Wade came in and things started to look better. He gets hurt. I understand all that. But, you know, you can't – the problem with a game like last night is that when you're the Miami Heat and you have a game where you shoot the basketball well, like you did last night, where things go well for you, where you hit 18 three-point shots, okay? You shoot 42% from behind the three-point line. Okay, this is your bread and butter offensively. You take a lot of threes. That's who you are. You got to be able to keep the ball out of your own basket. And the team on the other side, they're trying to be bad. And granted, the players are out there playing hard, but they're playing mostly young guys to try to showcase guys. It's crazy that the Miami Heat can't defend better against a team like this. And you look at where they are, and granted, the West Coast trips are tough, but the Heat don't have the luxury of any kind of excuse regarding travel right now with where they put themselves. Now, listen, is there a huge difference for them between the 1 and the 2 seed? Well, it's the difference between Toronto and Boston. And right now, Boston's got the crap beat out of them. I mean, they got guys hurt everywhere you turn. Not that they'll necessarily be, you know, that'll make them easier in the playoffs. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. Irving will be back, we know that. But you're probably better off in the 7, the R, and the 8. And the Bucks are begging them, desperately, guys, yeah, trying to give them the 7 seed, and the Heat don't want to take it because the Bucks went ahead. They lost to a tanking team last night in Orlando. So you look at all these things combined, and it doesn't exactly give you warm and fuzzies looking at the Miami Heat coming into the stretch run here.
Brian, we got another one going on here with this Heat team. It's Hassan Whiteside. I guess he's banged up. They're just calling an injury, but the team kind of left him out with – kept it pretty generic. I think they would like to see him play with a little pain, and he's saying he can't. And so what's your take on Hassan Whiteside at this point? He didn't play again last night.
All right, here's what I'm going to say. You buy a house on a golf course, you can't cry foul and be outraged when golf balls start flying through your window. Okay? off a year, guys, where this dude showed up late something like 42 times, okay, in his contract year, they turned around and rewarded him with a 4-year deal at $23 million a year. Okay? This is Hassan Whiteside. He doesn't always want to play. He doesn't always want to go hard. He got himself a big contract. He's aloof. He doesn't necessarily play within a team concept defensively. He chases blocks. He chases stats. Now they'd like him to be in the lineup. But listen, I think they don't push him here because they like Ant Bam Adebayo getting reps because ultimately he's going to be their center. But your larger problem is this. You've got to pay him this money 2 more years. And at this stage of the game, who are you getting to take this contract? The answer is no one. You're stuck with him. And this is, you know, the Whiteside contract. Think about everything the Whiteside contract cost them. Just from Wade's legacy to the fact that Wade could have been a lifer with the Miami Heat, but they prioritized Whiteside in front of Dwayne Wade that summer. The Heat, who are a very smart organization, who are run just about better than anybody most of the time, and when you look at this team right now, which is destined for NBA purgatory, okay, last team in the playoffs, first team out, which is the worst place to be, they signed all these contracts that cement them in NBA purgatory, and none bigger than Hassan Whiteside. And And listen, I guess if you feel like your goal is to get to be a 4-5 seed, but that's not, you're not going to get there.
No.
And this is not what the Miami Heat culture has always been. It's been championship or bust. No one's suggesting they should have tanked at any point in time. But by the same token, you got to manage your cap in a much smarter way than this. And you look at what's happened with Whiteside here. His play is generally uneven when he's on the floor. When he wants to play, the guy's terrific. But how often does he want to play? And that's part of the problem that they have here. And for the Heat, you don't even really have the option to turn the page on him because of the money that you decided to pay him. But this was, here's the thing that, about Whiteside, guys, that's really, you know, sometimes things happen to a team, something goes bad on a guy. You know, you can get almost like in the situation of Cleveland, Isaiah Thomas, cut them a little bit of a break off of the year Isaiah had last year and what went south. You can't cut the Heat a break on Whiteside. This was all very foreseeable, and they went in this direction anyway with him. And now they're dealing with the ramifications of paying a guy too much money off of a couple of good years that they shouldn't have paid him the money off.
God, he gives us every just a few games ago, we got a nice 26 and 16,
great,
a couple blocks, just enough of a teaser. And then next thing you know, he can't play. He's out for
– No, he's done for a week.
Yeah.
Yeah, he put up great numbers one night. He's done for a week and a half. But I'll get back on the court in a few weeks.
Yeah.
It's very un-Riley-like what has happened to this team the last 2 years.
Well, Riley knows. Riley's like into guys being man up and mature and earn your dough and play the Heat way. They got to be frustrated as hell with
this
situation.
But the culture, the contracts, Brian hit it right on the head. Giving Hassan all that money, re-signing all these guys to contracts that you're not going to get, you're not really going to be able to get rid of. It's very un-Riley-like.
Dallas and some other teams are going to pay him.
Think about some of these deals. Okay, first of all, I like Tyler Johnson. He scraps, fights. Okay, I know I've argued with Heat fans before. I'm not the biggest fan of him as a defensive player. A lot of the Heat fans like him a lot because the effort is always there. Look at that deal. How do you match that deal with Brooklyn? You stick them with that deal when they sign into that absurd offer sheet. Come on. Okay, okay, listen. How about James Johnson's production's falling off a cliff after signing the big deal? Okay. Now, Waiters is hurt, so we're not going to beat up on him too badly over that contract. Olynyk has played up to his contract, which is nice, but you look at some of these deals, and they make you scratch your head. And the thing is, what's going to happen here going forward, soon enough, you're going to have to make extension decisions on guys like Winslow and Richardson.
That's right.
And you know, Justice Winslow, I think he's about to break out, guys. I really do. I think we're about to see some great things from him. You want to be able to show the maximum level of faith in Justice Winslow here, be able to pay him and let him be part of your future. But you know, listen, Mickey Arison, and I don't blame him, doesn't love going into luxury tax, but you're going to end up worrying about dollars regarding the luxury tax for guys like Johnson, Waiters, Olynyk, and Whiteside. When you look at today's landscape in the NBA, none of it makes all that much sense. There's been some financial decisions here that the Riley regime has made that have been based upon the fact that Pat Riley was in a hurry to get this team back to glory and didn't necessarily want to take the patient steps he's taken in the past to kind of – and he'll never rebuild in Miami because it's not part of the culture, and I admire that. That's not a criticism. I absolutely admire that. But there maybe needed to be a step back and a little bit of retooling that got done, and maybe there was a lack of patience and thinking that guys off of, you know, contract year and one-year contract performance types of things were actually better than they were.
Hey, Brian, got to ask you about the big picture in the West. Are you drinking the Kool-Aid with a little extra sugar right now in Houston over the injury bug that's hit Golden State and where they are right now? Or let's not get carried away. Where are you?
Well, here's what I'll say. If Houston is going to have a chance to beat Golden State in the playoff series, their best chance is going to be home court advantage. If they can have home court advantage, we got ourselves a series. I mean, Houston's become an excellent defensive team. They've become very versatile regarding tempo. Where last year's version of Houston was 90 miles an hour with the hair on fire, and they had a run. You've seen a different version of Houston this year with the fact that teams will slow them down. And because they have a couple of excellent shot makers, obviously the best isolation player in the league in James Harden, but Chris Paul being a major mid-range threat, they have guys that can make shots late in shot clocks in a half court, but they also have excellent defensive personnel. Bringing in Tucker and Bam Mute have been huge. Paul is still an excellent defensive player. Clint Capella is an excellent defensive player, one of the better bigs in the league in switching in pick and roll onto guards. So they have this defensive pedigree they didn't have in the past. with home court advantage in a playoff series. They can give Golden State a hard time. They really can, I think. So from that standpoint, I am taking the Kool-Aid a little bit. And I wasn't a buyer on Houston early in the season. I wasn't sure this was going to work with Paul and Harden, but it's all worked. Now, with that said, I think one of the prerequisites to having a chance to beat Golden State is having the proper amount of length on the perimeter to be able to match up with the Durants and the Klay Thompsons of the world, and to a lesser extent, Curry. I don't know that the Rockets have that. The Rockets are still they're going to play Eric Gordon a lot. He's smaller. Obviously, Chris Paul is smaller, can play bigger. Harden's a guy you always have to worry about hiding defensively. He's still not a good defensive player. So that's kind of part of their problem coming into a series with Golden State. But I will say this, with the way that they defend and the way that they play in slower games, I think they have a chance. I really do. And I think right now, and these Golden State injuries have made this whole thing compelling, but the single best story, with as tight as both conferences are in the middle and proceeding and all that, and the way the West is with the bottom end, with good teams competing for playoff spots, to me, the single best story right now down the stretch of the NBA is the one seed in the West between Houston and Golden State.
Yeah, it should be a fun race at the end of this season coming up here. Brian Geltzeiler, HoopsCritic.com. We always appreciate your time, Brian. We'll talk to you again soon, bud.
I look forward to it, guys. Always my pleasure. Take care.
Thank you, Brian. Brian Geltzeiler. Nice of Brian to come on.
He was good today.
Get the Heat fans stirred.
Yeah.
I'd love to know what Heat fans think about what he said.
Said a lot about the Heat.
Way down on Hassan Whiteside. I
don't think he's the only person.
I would love to know when Eric Spoelstra goes up to have a cup of coffee and
with Pat
and talk to Pat Riley.
Pat, can we talk for a sec?
There's no way the way Hassan Whiteside plays and Alonzo Mourning played.
Yeah,
and those guys.
Yeah, oof. Don't put those two in the same sentence, Joe. No.
How about?
Except the fact they're both.
How about when the trainer says he can play, but he's just got to play a little pain, but he can't hurt it. And he's going now. He says he can't play. There's that fine line.
I know there is.
Listen,
I know there is.
I've been in that fine line when the doctor goes, he can play. You're going to play. My God, I can't walk. Play. Well, you know, there I go on the doctor. He's not even here.
He's passed away.
He passed.
No names.
He passed. And I'm not talking a 60-yard touchdown pass.
No?
Hey, right now I want to tell you about sports-related injuries. I want to talk to you about the place that I go. And a lot of people are going, man, when it comes to sports-related injuries, and let's face it, sooner or later, they happen to all of us. If you're active, I don't care what age you are. Team sport, individual sport, it gets us all. That's why it's nice to have Miami Orthopedics and Sports Medicine Institute, better known as Doctors Hospital in Coral Gables, right here in our backyard. You want to know where the pros go? I'll tell you where the Dolphins, the Heat, the Panthers go. I'll tell you where FIU goes, Dade County High School sports and college and professional athletes from all over the country. They go to Coral Gables, the Doctors Hospital. They get great results. These doctors, hey, you're not going to be the first time they've seen that injury. Are you kidding me? Dr. Uribe and Dr. Yagnik and Dr. Vijak and Dr. Heckman and Dr. Selznick, these are big timers, man, where the pros go. Foot and ankle specialists like San Giovanni and Dr. Hodgkins. I was with Dr. Schwartzman yesterday, who's running the Broward office. Unbelievable. I got a little tear in my rotator cuff right now. Doc took care of me, man. Taking good care of me. He's going to take good care of you up there. They got an office in Broward County. Hey, listen, one of the top sports medicine programs in the country is here in South Florida for all of us. Go to Doctor's Hospital in Coral Gables. Just go to baptisthealth.net/ortho, and you can see one of those doctors who works on million-dollar athletes every day.
This hour of WQAM, along with our parent company, Entercom Communications, is sponsoring a job fair being held at the BB&T Center next Wednesday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Thousands of jobs will be available, and many companies will be making their on-spot offers. Come with your resume and register at the door. The first 100 job seekers to enter will also be registered to win Panthers and Heat tickets. For more info, log on to jobnewsusa.com. Brought to you by 560 and 96.5 HD2 WQAM.
All right. Good stuff, man. Well, hopefully. It's good to hear, man. Those job fairs are good, man.
Helping the community out. Why not?
Let's get everybody out there working and feeling good and taking a little pressure off the old household, hopefully, and everything else. I just got my brackets in, so I'm officially in the computer.
All right.
And,
Joe's in.
Got to get them in, man, because it's going to be nonstop basketball today. And the funny part is, I'm guessing it's a majority of the people, both men and women, boys and girls, they get in these brackets. Let's face it, we all like to put a few bucks in it.
Of course.
10, 20, not? 50, according to how big a buck guys you have in your life.
You're in that big.
I'm guessing the doctors and lawyers put a little bit more money in.
You'd be surprised. More of the degenerates, like
you know, you're probably right. But anyway, 20's kind of the going rate, 10 or 20, right? In these things in the office pool. So they're all going in, and it's fun. And the crazy part is, we probably haven't seen a majority of the teams play.
Correct.
And so anyway, Miami, Florida, Florida State in the tournament, just to kind of hit our fan base down here, where a lot of people are rooting for or went to school or have children going to.
Yeah, you're paying for school.
We are paying for school somewhere, which you have that right. You have that right. Now that I've gone through that, you have a right. Wherever your kids go to school and you're spending money.
That's your team.
If you want to jump on that bandwagon a little bit and
it's okay too. You're basically paying for an alum. So
you know, I've gone to Florida and I don't get any heat at all, or very little, from people that see you from and like, oh, dude, what are you lost and what's going on? Did Mark Richt give you permission? You know, you might get a little of that.
Sure.
But I went to Florida State.
Oh yeah, different animal.
And with my daughter, having lunch with my daughter years ago, and I just got ripped to the point. My daughter said, we're eating lunch, and she goes, we got to get out of here. Those guys aren't nice and over there drinking. It was just after they had their spring game. I was up there during the spring game and didn't spend any time, and my daughter wasn't into the whole football thing, even though I loved to stop by.
Yeah.
But these guys, they were South Florida guys.
Okay.
And, oh.
FSU. Not
I mean, it would have been nice if we were at a sports bar and we're going busting chops where I could bust them back.
Or, yeah, like just some regular little lunch spot.
Yeah, just outdoor place, eating a little bit, and you know. But these guys, I couldn't – it was not a fair fight. It got real one-sided. Like, oh, dude, like, surprise you're not at a Canes game. Or, like, oh, what happened? The Canes – you just nonstop.
Florida State's a different animal. Tallahassee's a different animal. It really is.
So it was
– I went to University of Florida, and that was the single craziest weekend I had for the five years that I was up there for those Florida State-Florida games. Is as ugly as you can get, whether you went to Tallahassee for the weekend
or
they came down to Gainesville. It was bad. Joe, I got two scars from that weekend from years and years ago.
Oh, no.
It got ugly. Alcohol and ugliness.
Yeah, the alcohol and hanging out and everybody trash talking back and forth. We got so much stuff to get to last night, as you just heard from Brian. The Heat took a tough one, losing to Sacramento. No Dwayne Wade last night. No Hassan Whiteside. And no Josh Richardson, who has been real consistent playing all these games. He was out last night. He did come back and took the lead after being down 16 with a big fourth quarter, but ended up losing in overtime. 9 straight losses now, and now play the Lakers on Friday night. But today will be fun because it's a big game for the Panthers. They're 4 back at 8th spot. By the way, now all of a sudden – Columbus has been – I think Columbus won like 4 or 5 in a row. New Jersey now has won a couple of games. So New Jersey jumps back over.
Got to stay hot.
So anyway, they're 5 back of the 7th spot, and I believe they're 4 out of the 8th spot right now with 3 games at hand. So as long as you got those games, it's like a little insurance policy. Yeah. But you got to win these games at home.
Of course you do.
You got Boston, and they're really good. That's tonight. Boston's one of the better teams in hockey right now, but you've got 4 games with them coming up. My God, not easy. You're hoping – you don't ever hear about the hockey teams resting though much like you do in other sports.
No, it's not like, you know, basketball teams giving it a couple nights off where you're already, you know, 14-1 with the – you already have the AFC East locked up. We're not going to play our guys. This is a different animal altogether with hockey. Plus with Boston, when you looked at the schedule – they haven't played Boston all year, and all of a sudden, their last 15 games, they got 4 against them.
No, it's a crazy schedule. So, anyway, Boston's in town tonight, and the Panthers have been playing well, but for a little hiccup last game. And then the Canes and Loyola, Chicago, and that Chicago team's got 28 wins. That game's at 3:10 today.
Oh, Joe, it starts at 12:15, March Madness.
Yeah,
that's all that matters.
It's it gets going and goes all day. You know what's crazy? I almost feel badly, but everybody's picking as a big upset today. The number one game
is Miami losing to Loyola.
Is Miami losing to Loyola?
That's why I think Miami wins. just because everybody loves loyalty.
Is that what you're going by?
Yep.
You're going by the psyche game that's going back and
yes.
forth. Like, oh, we were kind of flat. Now we're pissed.
Now we're pissed. Underdog approach now? Perfect. We're the sixth seed.
Let me ask you a question.
And you think we're the underdog?
Does it really affect you? Come on.
No,
man.
Not at all.
You're in a big dance.
No, not at all.
You're on a neutral court.
Mm-hmm.
I just, you play well or you don't. I don't know how much you read into guys and their experience and who's been there and who hasn't. I think there is something to be said for that, for guys that have been and played in these games. I mean, Duke's got three players going to be playing in the NBA,
yep.
but they've never been anything
not
like this.
Not in a dance like this. No, you're right. But Grayson Allen has.
Yeah.
He's been on
he's
the
tripped,
Duke.
He's tripped up and cheap shot at every guy at every level. That's right.
I think Grayson Allen's been at Duke for 12 years.
Yeah, that's weird.
He's just been there forever.
You know what's kind of lost in his game? He's really, really good.
I know he is.
I'm guessing he's a first-round pick. He's definitely going to get drafted.
Yeah, but what do you know him for more than anything? Tripping guys.
Or,
not because of
that
great
butt
play.
Check. He's got that low butt check, too, where he can.
Listen, I
not a real popular guy going into the league.
No, he's not. No.
He is. He's going to rank right up there with a couple of other Dukesters all time.
Christian Laettner was a pretty hated guy.
And J.J. wasn't.
J.J. Redick, still a hated guy. Playing in Philly now, making a good contract
this
year. No, he's
had a hell of a career.
How about this year's contract? One year, $19 million.
Made himself in. Had a good year shooting threes and got paid.
Playing on that good Philly team right there. Yeah, but 12-15, Joe. Rhode Island, Oklahoma. 12-40, Tennessee, Wright State. 1:30, Gonzaga, UNC Greensboro. 2 o'clock, Kansas, Penn. Welcome to March Madness.
Watch this. Hollywood, who'd you take in that game? Who'd you take in that game? UM? Did you take UM to win this game today?
I did, yes, Joe.
Wow, look at that. Did you?
You took UM.
I took UM, yeah.
I just filled out Joe's bracket.
Wait. You're asking everybody, but you took Loyola? I'm telling Coach L. I'm going to see it the minute the first game starts. I can see your bracket, just not until then.
I just had to fill his bracket out because he doesn't know how to use a computer.
I know that.
Why do you always got to take shots at me about the computer?
Because
does that make you feel better?
Because you're being a coward. Why don't you just admit your pick?
You took Loyola. It's okay. So did Manny Chang. He just stood up and said he took him. Are you happy now you're in the same category as Manny Chang?
Oh, he's throwing up.
Where does Eagle shirt today?
It's a ridiculous pick, by the way. I don't even know where you got that from.
From Jay Billis and Jay Williams and Seth Greenberg and
hit three.
Dick Vitale.
Four.
I'm trying to think of all the guys that Joe's been watching for the last 72 hours since Sunday night when the brackets got put out. And the first thing that Seth Davis and those guys said on that broadcast that night, by the way, if we're looking early at upsets, I love number 11 seed Loyola. Yeah.
It's just weird because he knows nothing about them.
Oh, not
correct.
Zero.
Their mascot is?
I don't know. Mr. Mascot?
I don't know.
The Canes.
An Ibis.
You picked them.
So what? You always got to stir it up. First of all, you took a shot about me and computers.
Yeah.
I know how to get into my computer.
So why did
at
I
home?
Have to fill out your bracket?
Well, I didn't know how to do that. You did it in like 2 seconds. It was. You clicked it in, and we were good.
I'll be honest and tell
all
you,
right,
if
right.
it wasn't Loyola Chicago, I wouldn't know where the school is.
Hey, Hollywood, you're really smart, okay? On the computer, and you're really smart
on computer
all
whiz.
Stuff. Yeah.
He's part of the Geek Squad.
Gosh, man.
Best Buy.
Always got to take a shot at the old guy. Always has to do that.
Well, it's easy.
Hey, we got 9 o'clock hour coming up. Joe Schatt, he's kind of an old. He's getting closer to an old guy. He's going
to
join us from the
that.
Palm
yeah,
Beach
he's close
Post.
To my age.
We got a bunch of news we'll get to here locally as well as around the National Football League. We come back for this 9 o'clock hour. Another cut was made by the Dolphins, and a big free agent is officially in town. And getting ready to get the South Florida tour here any minute now. Right now, I want to tell you about Michael Kotze of Choice Mortgage Bank. First rounder. Oh, my gosh, Michael Kotze, you are too much. Hey, you going through mortgage banker frustration or new in town, need a mortgage banker, looking for that new home, just moved out of the Northeast, down here looking around, going, yeah, I got to find somebody and get deals done quickly. Instant approvals. Got knowledge of every mortgage. Free consultation. I can get a hold of the guy, and he didn't charge me $200 for meeting with him. Hey, Michael Kotze is the total package. My good friend is about as good as I've ever been around in all my years down here. He's going to get you the lowest rates, and little right now they've been jumping a little bit, but he's going to get you the lowest rates going all the time. You can always get a hold of him. He's got knowledge of every mortgage. Here's something that others aren't doing because they don't even work on the weekend. Michael Kotze will get you approved on a Saturday or Sunday. Like a quick one, he can do it for you. Here's his cell phone number. Call him, man. 561-441-2730. 561-441-2730. He's been doing this since 1994. He's got a AAA rating with a Better Business Bureau. That's important. Be careful who you're dealing with. Rates and terms subject to change daily without notice. Equal housing lender. NMLS 166254. His name is Michael Kotze, and my good friend is really good, and he'll work anywhere in South Florida for you. 561-441-2730.
This hour of the Joe Rose Show.